Salazar grew up in a demanding family. His Cuban father was a close ally of Fidel Castro. He became so disillusioned with the Cuban leader he trained for but didn't participate in the failed U.S. attempt to oust Castro, the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961. Eventually, Alberto Salazar's family settled in Wayland, Massachusetts, where the young Alberto turned to running, a brief but brilliant marathon career. Between 1980 and 1984, he won three straight New York City marathons. Boston once, he set a world record, competed in the Olympic marathon. But then it was over. Alberto Salazar suffered a series of health problems, severe depression, and finally in 2007 a heart attack that left him technically dead for 14 minutes. Hence the title of a new book written by John Brandt. It's called 14 Minutes, A Running Legend's Life and Death and Life. And Alberto Salazar recently spoke with our marathon man, Alex Ashlock.
You write about this in the book. You had a confidence that was interpreted by some as arrogance as an athlete, as a runner. Where did that confidence come from?
I think that the confidence I had came from my training. And at the age of 16, I started training with the Greater Boston Track Club, with Bill Squires, who was the coach, and with Bill Rogers, who was about to break through with his first major marathon win. And so I was pretty knowledgeable about the sport. As a young kid, as a rookie with the Greater Boston Track Club, which was my nickname, I was training with a lot of the best marathoners in the world. And so by the time I was 23 or 24, I had already figured out what workouts meant and what workouts would predict certain performances. And I had gotten to a level where I pretty well knew my own body and what I was capable of. And so my confidence wasn't something where I could ever predict or knew that I was going to beat any particular person. You never know what that person is going to do or what they're capable of. But I was always pretty confident about what I was capable of doing. And so to me, it was never a stretch to say, well, I think I'm in shape to run 208 or 209, and that's faster than anybody else here, so I've got a good chance of winning. But yeah, it was just a confidence in myself. I don't think it was an arrogance, really, that I was necessarily better than everybody else.
It's interesting because you say in the book that you thought you were the toughest runner in most every race you participated in.
Yeah, I did have a confidence that I was training harder than anybody else. And the running community is pretty close-knit, and you always kind of know what other people are doing and people talk and so forth. And so I knew that the way I was training was harder than anyone else. And so that kind of gave me a confidence that mentally I felt I had put myself through harder work and more pain than any of my competitors. And so, you know, whether it makes any sense or not, in my mind, it was like I deserve to win more than them because I've suffered more. And there was the confidence that when I was out there suffering with my competitors, I felt like I was better prepared, that I had gone through more pain and that I could handle it, and that no matter how bad it was, since I felt I was tougher and I had trained harder, that they must be hurting more. So that was what sort of gave me solace and made me feel like I just had to hang on, and sooner or later they would break.
Did some of your drive come from your family, your relationship with your father?
I think a lot of my drive and personality, good and bad, came from my family. And I think that's probably the same for a lot of us. You know, that's where we learn. And certainly from my father, you know, I definitely learned the value of hard work. And from him, I learned that you had to give everything you had, and that if you didn't give everything that you had, you were kind of a failure. And so it was something from a young kid on that I always felt that I had to do the best that I could at everything that I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't live up not only to his expectations, but what he had put into my mind should be my expectations for myself.
The hinge of your book is your heart attack in 2007 when you were technically dead, I think, for 14 minutes. Obviously, the title of the book. But when you were a kid, I think your brother almost killed you with a bow and arrow. You had the 1978 Falmouth Road Race where I think your body temperature went up to something like 108. The 1982 Boston Marathon, you and Dick Beardsley just about ran each other to death. Do you think all of that prepared you for this heart attack that you had, that you survived?
Yeah, I had a lot of near-death experiences. In fact, more than we even put in the book, because we felt at some point it was
kind of hard to believe.
Pardon the pun, overkill. And But literally, yeah, I'm lucky to still be alive. I wonder if I'm really a cat, and I've almost used up my nine lives. But I think that I had a lot of close brushes, and, you know, I just think of our lifestyle and where we came from, Cuba. I mean, we were a bit different and a little wild, and I don't really think that all those brushes necessarily prepared me for my final heart attack. I think that the reason I survived my heart attack, or, you know, as I say in the book, I think one, physically, that I was in tremendous shape, so even though I had some clogged arteries, I was able to my heart was able to resume beating after 14 minutes, which most hearts won't. And then number two, as I talk about in the book, I just think that it wasn't my time to go, that it wasn't God's plan for me, and that he was going to give me one more shot at life.
Yeah, you really attribute a lot of that to a lot of what's happened to you, to your faith.
Absolutely. I do have tremendous faith in God, and I don't, at the same time, I don't think of myself as a particularly very...
You're not wearing it on your sleeve, basically.
Yeah, I don't think of myself as being especially religious or holy or good or anything of those things, but I do believe that, I have a faith in God that he has a plan for me. I think he has a plan for all of us, and he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to try to do the best that we can with our lives.